What if you had the resources you needed for your mental health right at your fingertips? Imagine a world where our mental well-being is prioritized just like our physical health, and where we have access to the tools and support we need. That's exactly what the Make Mental Health Matter show is all about. Join Kelly Melissa Reinhart, a true warrior for mental health, founder of Make Mental Health Matter nonprofit, author, and wellness coach. This show is your gateway to breaking down the stigma surrounding mental health. Tune in for enlightening conversations, expert insights, and empowering stories that will not only increase awareness, but also provide education about mental health. It's time to have those hard conversations, prioritize your well-being, and make your mental health matter. Your mental wellness journey starts here.
Welcome to another episode of Make Mental Health Matter. My name is Kelly Melissa Reinhart, and I am your host. If you happen to be watching this for the very first time, thank you for being here. If you've watched it many a times, thank you for coming back. And the whole point of this show is to bring resources and information and have those hard conversations that we don't really want to have. Because if you know the mental health or suicide prevention space, even substance abuse, we oftentimes shy away from the conversations that we should be having as related to all of those challenges. And I think a lot of it is just people are uncomfortable as far as having those open conversations. And I never thought that I would be a person that would love to have hard conversations, but I have gotten to a point within my life and within my career that I love to have those conversations. With my nonprofit, it's really everything that we do. It's education, it's conversation, it's about opening up and sharing our stories with others so that they don't feel so alone. And I am very excited for my guest today because she is going to share her story and her journey through she'll explain it all to you, but my guests that I bring on are either professionals in the mental health space, advocates, or those with lived experience that have a story, and then they share what they've gone through and why they do what they do now. So let me properly introduce my guest for today. So her name is Beth, and she was born in upstate New York and moved to Colorado 5 years ago. She has a background in nutrition and is now a personal chef, a very delicious personal chef. She is highly active in her recovery, and Beth now helps women that struggle with the disease of addiction. So you're going to want to hear her story. So let me bring her up. Beth, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I was super excited to be able to help out just by existing. This is cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know I briefly shared a little bit about you, but please tell the audience a little bit more about you and your story.
Oh boy, there's a lot. I mean, I'm happy and healthy, and currently I'm pregnant, and I'm in Sedalia, Colorado, and life is very good, and it's very different than it used to be. I have to, constantly maintain my mental health in order to be at this level of, acceptance and calm, so it's really nice here, but that's not to say that I haven't been in bad places for a very long time, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, all the things. When I met you, I was very intrigued about learning more about how I could help people that were struggling mentally, because I can relate, and I didn't know how to ask for help back then, and now I do, and really just having people that listen has been, the best and most helpful aspect of healing is just having people that listen. But yeah, you want to hear my backstory? Okay.
Yeah. So, give us a little bit about it.
I from the troubled stuff, right? So like I started therapy pretty young in my early teens because my parents were going through divorce and I didn't know how to handle my emotions. I didn't want to have any. I never really do want to have any emotions. I want to be a robot. So anytime I can shut those emotions down and not feel is like the only way I really feel I could live back then. So when I was like early teens, I developed like an eating disorder to kind of like, I didn't know at the time, I was just masking, like, I don't want to look at my parents fighting. I just turned it inward. And I didn't know that then. I just wanted to feel lovable and good enough. And that like slight want of like being different and being lovable turned into like a full blown obsession within, you know, a short period of time. And I found myself struggling with anorexia for like my entire high school. And like my experience was that it was very emotionally painful and that I couldn't accept who I was and I couldn't let other people in because certainly if they knew who I was and what I was doing, they wouldn't accept me either. And even with, you know, with doing things the way I thought would make me feel good, I would just feel worse and worse, especially physically, just getting, you know, feeling physically ill and not having enough energy to fuel my brain, just feeling more and more sick mentally. So it was a one of those negative feedback loops where I would feel bad, so I wouldn't eat, and then not eating would make me feel worse, so I wouldn't eat more. So it just went on for a long time. And luckily, I wasn't hospitalized, although it is extremely, extremely dangerous. I had a lot of friends at the time that were also very angsty, but also very depressed. And they would do different forms of self-destruction, like cutting and taking drugs and things. And, you know, I wanted to see what all the hubbub was about, right? Like there was, maybe it was working for them. I tried it and I didn't like it. Just kept on with the eating disorder, right? So my friends and I, we fuel each other's, attitudes, really. And our emotions make our attitudes. So after experiencing eating disorder for many years, I started trying drugs out, and I found the drugs helpful, like smoking marijuana and drinking. And I would do that, and it would numb me out, and I would be able to eat. And I said, oh, this is helping me with my eating disorder, and it's helping me with my anxiety. In reality, what it was actually doing was suppressing all my thoughts and emotions, and I'm just continuously bottling them up. So I'm sure any of the listeners and Kelly knows, like when we bottle this stuff up, it's got to come out somewhere. And so I would have to use more and more. I would have to use drugs more and more to feel okay and just okay. And if I wasn't high, I was miserable. So it was a, like all through college, experiencing like less of the eating disorder, but like needing to get high all day, every day in order to exist. And that's when I started experiencing really bad mental health issues, and depression and anxiety put me into partial hospitalization. When I got there, I was having a lot of suicidal thoughts. I didn't really want to live, but I didn't want to kill myself either. So I started listening to what they had to tell me, what the health professionals had to say. And I started learning about coping mechanisms. And I started learning about like more effective therapies. Medication in combination with talk therapy was extremely helpful. And they told me, stop taking the drugs, stop drinking for a little bit, you know? I had dropped out of college in order to go to partial hospitalization. And when I was sober for a long enough period of time and I was medicated and I was starting to do better, I thought, oh, I'm doing well. I can go back to using drugs and alcohol to cope. I never told the health professionals about my eating disorder at all. I just told them I was depressed and I was anxious. And I didn't want, I was still too shameful about having an eating disorder to like share that with professionals even, or my friends. So it stayed a secret. And I went back to using drugs and alcohol to cope. And I went back to using the eating disorder to cope. And I went back to college. And I did pretty well in college. I made a lot of friends because that's what you want to do in college, is you want to hang out and you want to party. And I thought, well, I want to be like everybody else, so I'm going to go party with them. And it was, you know, even with people around me, it was a very lonely experience. I did end up getting good grades in college and graduating, but I like my mental health stayed exactly the same as it was as a teenager, where like I might have had a little bit more social skills, but I still would, if anything bad happened over here, I would express it inward with like self-hatred and self-control, which I thought was a thing at the time. After college, I met a very nice man that was very normal and that like he liked to drink. And I got into drinking every day. And, you know, I didn't necessarily get blackout drunk, but it was like another coping mechanism that seemed to work, getting high all day, getting drunk at night. And when 4 years went by and like they just fucking flew, I just realized that I wasn't living my life. I was just sustaining not feeling. I left that relationship and decided to stop drinking. I met a friend that introduced me to AA, and he suggested that maybe I stop smoking too, because I was smoking all day, every day for over a decade at that point. And I really didn't want to, but he convinced me, and I stopped, and I stopped everything, and I moved to Colorado in 2 months. So this is what they call a geographic, right? So like I can run away from my problems and myself by moving over to Colorado. But another thing that people say is wherever you go, there you are. So my problems came flooding back. I relapsed and it felt terrible this time. It was not something I wanted to do anymore. And I felt like I was out of control and that I was just compulsively going to get high. I still haven't drank since I quit that back then 5 years ago. But I, you know, I continued to struggle with the eating disorder and I continued to get high periodically, and quit and get high for 2 years. And then another friend, a coworker, introduced me to another 12-step program called NA, Narcotics Anonymous. And I always had this conception that Narcotics Anonymous was people that used like really hard drugs, like used heroin and crack, and not necessarily. It turns out that like anyone is welcome there, from, you know, video game addiction to eating disorder to like living on the streets and being homeless and being incarcerated. Like every range of people is welcome there. So when I went, before I went to NA, I just was experiencing the worst depression. It was New Year's Eve, and I just didn't know how to live anymore. And I had felt like I exhausted all the options as far as what to do. And I asked for help, and I asked my friend for a hike, and I wasn't going to tell him what was going on. And I didn't know why I told him. And then he asked me if I needed help throwing out my drugs. And I said, yes. And then he asked me, can I take you to a meeting tomorrow? And I said, and he's like, it's a meditation meeting. I'm like, oh, meditation will cure me. Sure. That sounds good. So, I went to that meditation meeting and I heard, other people, in NA speak. And I said, oh my goodness, this is where I'm supposed to be. I never felt that way about the other fellowship, but with NA, it was like, oh my gosh, this is like a dream. And they helped me, stay clean and sober, while I tried to figure out, tried to heal my brain. At that point, I like never really learned, how to feel, without, numbing out. And, thank goodness that like I had so many people around me, because as soon as I took away all the drugs, the eating disorder got really, really bad. Even though I was clean, I still didn't know how to live without some kind of numbing agent, some kind of suppression. So I got really bad with my eating disorder 3 years ago, and went to an IOP, intensive outpatient program, and got help for that. And continued to work like a 12-step program. And the 12-step program was amazing. I was learning things about myself I never wanted to look at. And I was sharing it with someone and actually telling the truth for the first time in my life. And I was, what was I, 29 or 30? And it's the first time I'm ever sharing that I had an eating disorder and problem. And it was so freeing to be accepted. And to be loved for exactly who I was, and not, you know, holding everyone back and being scared all the time. And, you know, I struggled with a lot of difficult emotions in the first year of recovery in NA, but I got through it without using drugs. I still use the eating disorder. That took about 2 years to really subside. And now I can very, very excitedly say that I have not acted out in the eating disorder, and I haven't used drugs in combination. So like all the things that were my original coping mechanisms, I haven't done that in like 1 year and 1 month. So that's amazing. You know, going through like dad being sick and in the hospital, like, was the last time I found myself not knowing what to do with these very strong feelings. And it's okay, right? Like, sometimes we go back to our old behavior to cope with these very difficult feelings, because we want to avoid pain. And that's perfectly normal for the human body to want to avoid pain. But I have new ways to live, and I have this big community of support, and that I also support. And I want to keep doing it because it's been working very, very, very well. I've been doing it for a long time. So I think I have 3 years, 2 months, and 26 days today without using anything. But, you know, it's something that I don't stop working on my recovery and on my mental health. Because I'll just revert back very quickly. It's an old learned trait, but I went on for decades. So it's going to probably take at least decades to learn to do the other things. So I got to keep practicing. But yeah, that's my whole story. There's a lot.
No, that's good. Thank you so much for sharing. And I love, so there's a lot of layers in there. And I like that you talked a lot about like the emotions and the eating disorder, which you never really wanted to come clean with that portion of it, right? It's kind of this silent challenge that you had, and knowing that you utilize these things as coping mechanisms because you've learned over time, that's really truly what they are. And it sounds like you have really found what was that thing that was triggering it, and it was the emotions, and it is all an experience. And like you said, it takes time to go from one thing that you've known for so long and change that and shift it. Although along the way, you've had periods where you've learned different tools and techniques and went to different groups and found people that support you. And one key thing that you said was that you had all these people around you, but you felt really alone. And that seems to be a lot of the emotions that people have, is especially when they're using negative coping mechanisms, then there's a lot of, whether it be trauma or other things that come up, and they're using these things to kind of like, you know, smash down those emotions, as you were talking about. So we're going to go to a quick sponsored break, but when we get back, we're going to kind of unravel a little bit more about what you said and then transition into what you do now. So we'll be right back after this quick sponsored break.
It's time to make mental health matter. BCC bridges the gap by educating people to support those who are facing a mental health challenge. We aim to ACE, increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. To empower people and get educated and speak out about mental health and suicide so that we break down the stigma and start saving lives. Let's stop the stigma and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide through educational classes and community events to reach 1 million people by 2030. And you can help. Go to bccevolution.org. Stay connected. Be a part of our community. Go to bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
What if you could transform your mental health journey with just one question? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to prioritize your mental well-being like never before? Well, now's your chance. Introducing Make Mental Health Matter, the show that's changing the conversation about mental wellness. Join us every Monday on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we delve into insightful discussions, expert advice, and inspiring stories. Hosted by Kelly Melissa Reinhardt, a warrior for mental health, this show is your guide to breaking down the stigma surrounding mental health and discovering valuable resources to enhance your well-being. So, are you ready to take charge of your mental health journey? Tune in and let's make mental health matter together.
Calling all authors. Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to dreamvision7radio.com.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Make mental health matter. Support bcevolution.org, a nonprofit organization in Aurora, Colorado, and assist by donating, volunteering, or shopping our merch. Either way helps us develop programs and events. Help us increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. Become a mental health warrior and find out why it matters. Go to bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And hi. Like that, we're back.
We're back.
I'm like making sure that we can hear, you know, it's always a good thing. If you happen to be just joining us, thank you so much for watching. I have Beth, who is my guest today, and she just shared her whole experience through utilizing negative coping mechanisms like, you experienced an eating disorder. You also started using drugs and marijuana and alcohol, and then really understanding that it was this underlying feelings. You didn't want to really feel any of the feelings. And it manifested into different challenges. You have been sober now for, you said, 1 year and 1 month, right? Like completely.
I've been clean for over 3 years, but from the eating disorder stuff, a year and a month.
Awesome. Yeah. So, thank you for clarifying. I was like, I know there was a 3 year and a 1 year. So, which is amazing. So congratulations first and foremost on that. It's no easy feat. Like you were saying, is that when you utilize, whether it be drugs or alcohol or, experiencing the eating disorder, for a really, really long time, that's like the norm that you become used to, and shifting your mindset, shifting. And you said it too, as like just moving places isn't going to stop everything. You take yourself with you. So, and then coming to Colorado where, I mean, there's things that are legal here that are not legal in other states. Right. So, it is interesting, just the dynamic of, I had a buddy back in the day that was like, I'm going to stop drinking. And then he moved to Vegas. And I was like, not really the best place to move, you know? So, but I would also, just like to, talk a little bit about, so the recovery programs that you have been through, right? Because some of our audience, they may be, they're either struggling or they know somebody in their life that might be struggling. And I know you also talked about there is AA, Alcohol Anonymous, and then there's NA, Narcotics Anonymous. And most of the groups, at least what I have learned, is that everybody is welcome. And you may not feel like that is your place, but there's lots and lots of them out there. So tell me a little, I guess the question that's popping up into my head is, tell me a little bit about your experiences with these groups.
Oh, I mean, coming into these programs when you're not doing well is like the most, it's overwhelmingly loving. So like the first time I experienced it, I was like, what do you mean you want a hug? Like, oh God. But they really are just very interested in like seeing me do better, like, and seeing anyone new come in just like improve. So it was, and they don't ask for anything, right? So it's like a free, and very loving program that works and is shown to work. So like AA has been around for a very long time, and NA has taken their traditions and adapted it to their own, but it's very similar. Personally, I found that AA is a little bit more old school, right? Like I need a little bit more of the new age stuff, but like it, both programs work for, like millions of people, I think it is. But when I went to AA, I wasn't really quite ready. So it's like, it's good that there's so many different anonymous programs. There's tons. I even tried Eating Disorder Anonymous, EDA. And like, it's really wherever you feel most comfortable, wherever I felt most comfortable, and wherever I wanted to keep coming back to. The people that, it just based on the people I connected with. And it's okay that like, the first meeting I try, I didn't like. I try another one then in another place and meet different people. Even though like I didn't want anyone to know me because I was afraid of myself, they would share honestly about their lives with strangers, and then I would feel more welcome. I would identify with those people. So it's really about like identification, and they really don't ask for anything. They just ask that you try to get better. And that's like what, that's why you go. So, there's lots of suggestions, but like suggestions aren't requirements. You take them or leave them. They just suggest that you don't bring any drugs or alcohol to their meetings. They would appreciate that. Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, there are so many out there. As I explore the recovery space with my nonprofit, I am learning more and more about all the resources that are out there. And just like this show, the point of it is to give resources and information that people may not have known prior. And I think that goes the same, whether it's in the mental health space or the recovery space or the eating disorder space, because I have explored all of those spaces. There's a lot of resources out there, but sometimes we just don't know that they're available. And so I think it's good, especially for like my guests who come on here to share their experience, what they've been through, what they've found to be helpful. And just because it's helpful for you doesn't mean it's going to be helpful for somebody else and vice versa. Right. And so we really just have to keep looking. And if it's not your cup of tea or it's not your people, I promise you there is somewhere that is your people. And somebody out there really wants to, like you said, they want to make sure that you're safe and that you're healthy and that you're getting better. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what you wanted also. The question that's popping up into my head is, because the way that you talk about it now, how did you start to understand what was that underlying cause? Like, how did you start to really understand that?
Oh, wow. I mean, that was a long process of really, I think what helped the most was the IOP, the eating disorder, through, I think it's called, I forget what the program is in Denver, but I went through that and they started to get me to see that, like, there was something that was happening just before the eating disorder thoughts or just before the thoughts of wanting to get high. What was happening just before then? So it required like a ton of awareness of like, oh, what's going on in my brain? What are my thoughts right now? And like how much I connect those thoughts to myself. Like, of course, now I've learned that like I am not my thoughts. Thoughts are totally random. And can be very disturbing at times, but that doesn't mean I need to act on them. But when those thoughts come up, like, and I need to act on them, what happened just before that? And it seemed to be that, like,
that's okay.
What happened just before, like, the desire to, like, use is that, complications in my morals and my values, really. So like, especially with relationships, if I was withholding information, like, hey, and instead of saying like, hey, what you said kind of hurt, I would just turn it inward and like want to numb out. I couldn't tell them that I wasn't okay with their behavior because I needed them to love me so much, right? So like that was like one of the biggest ones. But let's say that I was afraid that I couldn't perform well at my job. Instead of, you know, trying to slow down, I would just beat myself up instead because like I don't feel good enough at my job. So I'll just hurt myself by doing one of these other behaviors. And it took a long time and a lot of practice to be like, oh, there's the thought. What just happened before that? And I just kept doing that practice. And, you know, what it turned into is like, okay, there it is. This is the thing that's actually bothering me. How can I just feel those emotions and validate that those are real, right? Like, okay, this person hurt my feelings. Can I tell somebody about it? Can I be a little bit easier on myself of like, I don't need to be perfect at my job? Like, how can I give myself a little bit more self-love and also share that information, get it out of my head? That's where, like, the community of support was really beneficial. It's like, if I say these thoughts out loud, it reduces their power over me, and they become less scary. People relate to my thoughts, and suddenly they can become kind of funny of, like, why would you want to work harder and hurt yourself? Like, what? That's silly. But when it's only in your head, it's very painful.
Yeah. And gosh, that was like so good. And thank you for sharing that too. But I talk a lot about if we like the words that we say to ourselves and the words that we say to others are really important, right? If we're saying things to ourselves that we would never, ever, ever say to somebody else out loud, then you shouldn't be saying them to yourself. And having the tools to be able to train yourself, hey, this is a thought and this is what was happening before. I mean, that takes skill, absolutely. And you need to learn how to be able to do that. It's not just as easy as like, oh, I'm gonna think about what I thought just a moment before. But we all have choice. We have the choice to change our thoughts. We have the choice to allow it to affect us. And we also have choice what coping mechanism we're going to use. It's not as easy as it sounds, right? We really have to build in learning how to utilize positive coping mechanisms versus negative coping mechanisms. But I think that's really cool that you started learning that and training yourself to understand. And I'm sure there's still learning that will happen, right? Throughout life, as we go even farther into life, we learn and just keep learning and have to really train ourselves to understand ourselves before we can even help others. So I think that's just amazing that you have learned how to do that. And you can be like, oh, okay, well, what just happened? Like that's just really powerful. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, besides, this mindfulness, like the thing that's helped me the most is like working a 12-step program. Like it's an order of exactly how you can go about it. And it sometimes it just feels like homework, but it forces me to look inward of like, okay, I've been looking at all this outside stuff. Like I'm looking at my relationships and I'm looking at work and I'm blaming all of these things. But what is actually going on inside of me is what the 12-step program has like brought to light. And like, you know, in so many different ways. It's so cool. And uncomfortable, very hard work. But it was well worth it. And I'll keep doing it cause I will keep finding more that I cover up and inside. There's so much there.
It's so interesting as you start to do, and I feel you there cause I'm a lot on the same journey as like understanding myself, so that I can help others. And I really have to pay attention to how I'm reacting, how other people are affecting me. Like I call them my triggers. Right. And also just understanding it's about me. And I can't, like you just said, you can't blame anything else, right? It's not you only, we as humans only have control of ourselves. We don't have control of anybody else or the situation or the event. And the cool part about that is that we have choice about how it's going to affect us. And if when we start to do that internal work, then we'll really understand. And we also can change and shift whatever that behavior, that emotion, or really like that trauma or whatever led up to this point, we really can be able to change that and identify what's going on so that we don't choose negative coping mechanisms versus positive ones. So,
yeah, I mean, there are so many different ways to go about the same stuff of that like internal work. And I've heard so many different ways that work. They do not have to be the way that has worked for me at all. But like, you know, there's a saying that I really like is that like, I put off getting better for so long because I felt like, well, I'm not sick enough to deserve help. Mm-hmm. I'm not cutting myself. I'm not dying. Kind of was, but just a little bit faster than I normally would. But it's so funny that like, everyone feels this way, which is the saying that I like, terminally hip and fatally cool. I am different than you. You wouldn't understand. And this can't possibly help me is run through everyone's head. Everyone. And like, it's just a matter of like surrendering that I am no different than anybody else. We're all on this messed up planet trying the best we can. That's it.
Well, we're going to go to one more quick sponsored break, but then once we get back, we're going to chat about what you do now and what got you into what you do now. So we'll be right back after this quick sponsored break.
It's time to make mental health matter. BCC bridges the gap by educating people to support those who are facing a mental health challenge. We aim to ACE, increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. To empower people and get educated and speak out about mental health and suicide so that we break down the stigma and start saving lives. Let's stop the stigma and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide through educational classes and community events to reach 1 million people by 2030. And you can help. Go to bccevolution.org. Stay connected. Be a part of our community. Go to bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
What if you could transform your mental health journey with just one question? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to prioritize your mental well-being like never before? Well, now's your chance. Introducing Make Mental Health Matter, the show that's changing the conversation about mental wellness. Join us every Monday on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we delve into insightful discussions, expert advice, and inspiring stories. Hosted by Kelly Melissa Reinhardt, a warrior for mental health, this show is your guide to breaking down the stigma surrounding mental health and discovering valuable resources to enhance your well-being. So, are you ready to take charge of your mental health journey? Tune in and let's make mental health matter together.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
Calling all authors! Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to dreamvision7radio.com.
It's time to make mental health matter. BCC bridges the gap by educating people to support those who are facing a mental health challenge. We aim to ACE, increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. To empower people and get educated and speak out about mental health and suicide so that we break down the stigma and start saving lives. Let's stop the stigma and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide through educational classes and community events to reach 1 million people by 2030. And you can help. Go to bccevolution.org. Stay connected. Be a part of our community. Go to bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back.
Yay.
Yay. If you happen to be just joining us, make sure you go back and watch the rest of the episode. But before we went to break, Beth, I wanted to transition into what you do now. So tell the audience a little bit about what you do now.
First of all, thank you for allowing me to be here. Like, this is what I do now. I get involved with people that help other people and people that are struggling with their mental health in whatever aspect. And I am just so grateful that to like be involved with this nonprofit. Like, this is so cool. Thank you so much. Yeah,
of course.
So what I do now, I finally have my own business. It took me many years to gain enough self-acceptance to figure out that I could be the entrepreneur I always was. It started at like 16, but now at like in my 30s, I run my own business, and it's going wonderfully still, which is still surprising to me that I'm a personal chef and a caterer. I specialize in allergen-friendly cooking and baking. So I make food for everybody, including people that can't have the food that everybody else has. So it's really nice to be able to share recipes and teach and also like have everyone be comfortable and not even realize that maybe they're eating something that's gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, nut-free, you know. And they're just enjoying their meal and with everyone else. And it's pretty, you know, all inclusive. I currently work on my recovery when I'm not doing my job, probably more hours than I should, every week, but I go to a lot of NA meetings and I have a sponsor that I work steps with, the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And I have three sponsees right now, all women in recovery, similar to me with, you know, similar patterns. and I help them go through their 12-step program. And we go through a very nice notebook and answer questions. And we meet once a week privately, and they share with me what they've written. And I never, you know, speak about what they share. It's like, I'm not a therapist, right? So if I offer advice, it is just advice. Don't take my advice. That's probably only for me. And even then I hurt myself with it. But I'm there to listen and to offer support as they like do a deep dive into themselves. Cause that was so freely given to me. That's what I keep what I have by giving it away. So I want to keep helping other people in order to keep helping myself. If I stop, then I'm just gonna forget, you know, like, oh, life is good, and I'll start just living it, and then my thought, the patterns will start coming back, and I won't even know, because there's nobody around to, like, point out my BS, so I keep those people around me, and I do a lot of public speaking about my story, and I go to what's called H&I, hospitals and institutions, where I go into rehabs and treatment facilities, and I share a message of recovery for what's worked for me personally. It doesn't necessarily have to be what they want to do, but that we can get better and that we can recover. That's what's important to me today, is to share that, like, there's hope, and just have to keep trying.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I was so, like, when we first met, I was so excited because I am allergic to a lot of things. And oftentimes I go places and I mean, like, bananas, sage, nuts. I'm allergic to those. And sage is one of the hardest for me because Italian generally has sage in it. And with, like, nuts, everybody on the nutrition band, right? Like, nuts, nuts. And I'm like, I can't have them. So,
yeah.
When you and I met, like, I love what you do. And also with your, I know, like, the cakes and all the things that you make are just so delicious. You would never think that something being gluten-free could be as delicious as I have tried that you have made. And I think it's great that you have transitioned. I mean, knowing that you had an eating disorder and then you transitioned into a personal chef, really understanding nutrition and baking and all of those key aspects. I just think it shows how progress can be made and we can change from something that maybe felt like we were stuck in this pattern and then make it into something that you're helping others to understand, and it's helping you. And then you have mentees in addition to that, which that's so cool. So congratulations on everything that you have accomplished.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's so funny. Like, the original reason for getting into nutrition was to, like, be better at the eating disorder, right? To be totally honest. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it turned into, well, I also want to help people. I'm like, I want to understand why they can't enjoy the things that I like to enjoy, which is, like, I love sugar. and now, like, I, like, want to understand and I want to help people, not so much think about myself all the time anymore. So, like, it as a not super clear intention back then, it turned into, like, something that was very helpful. And now I have like a healthier obsession, I think. Instead of figuring out what I'm putting in my body, I'm trying to figure out what I'm putting in theirs.
Right? Yeah. Well, especially when you do, I mean, as a personal chef, you have to figure out what the meal plan and get all, you know, all the things.
Yeah. I don't want to hurt anybody. Right. I have a customer I see every week. I go to her house and I do meal prep and she's got a laundry list of allergies. Plus, like, she's on a diet now. So, like, really she just has a small list of what she can eat and I have to be, and she expects me to be creative. And I'm like, okay, it's like, it's the type of pressure I want nowadays. And not, like, put it on myself. I'm just like, we'll see how it goes. Let me know if you liked it. This week we made, like, little individual meatloafs and chicken pot pie. And it's got to be gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free, soy-free. Oh, my God. The list just goes on. And it came out great. I ate it for dinner. And I was like, oh, this is so good.
Right? And you're like, and on top of it, I'm learning how to make other things, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's really fun. I really like my job. Sometimes I want to just change everything again, but then I'm like, well, what else is going on that I'm afraid of?
Oh, right.
Yeah. The character is working.
That's amazing. And so where, if people want to follow you, your story, and or have you be their personal chef or cook, make a cake or whatever, where can they find you? What's the best place?
I'm a big fan of Instagram, and you can find me at Baker Beth Catering. I also have a personal account that's and my website, BakerBethCatering.com, and I also have a personal account you can probably find through that Instagram. That would be great.
Awesome. Well, any final words that you would like to share with the audience?
I mean, if you're struggling, have hope. We get better. And if you know someone that's struggling, all they need is your presence and someone to listen. Not too much more, just to know that you're there is enough. That's really what I want to share. And then thank you so much. I really hope that, like, this helps one person, right? And if it helps no one, it helped me. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being my guest. I so appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem. Oh, I hope that you get a lot more interesting and helpful people on this program. It's been really cool to watch some of the episodes.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you. All right, y'all. That was another amazing episode of Make Mental Health Matter. Oh my gosh. Yeah, like Beth just said, go watch some of the other episodes. You never know what we're going to talk about. I half the time don't even know what we're going to talk about, but that's the best part, is that we can authentically just show up and have open conversations. It doesn't have to be planned. It doesn't have to be scripted. We can just have authentic conversations. It's not about perfection. It's really about getting the information out. So, I have had lots and lots of guests across the board. I'm so grateful for Beth being on the show and sharing her story. Hopefully that helps if you might be struggling yourself, or you know somebody in your life that might be struggling, whether it's with an eating disorder, substance abuse, drug abuse, or just in general. Listen, being there for somebody can make a huge difference. And I want to point out that we are not broken. We do not need to be fixed, and we can simply just listen to somebody non-judgmentally, whatever they might be going through and experiencing, and asking questions. Get curious, ask the questions, because I bet you they're waiting for somebody to ask them so that they can open up, and it helps them, which helps you understand how you can help them. So no matter what you do, go watch some other episodes, but come back next Monday for another amazing guest, and I will see you later. Bye, y'all.
Thank you for joining today for the Make Mental Health Matter show. We hope you found today's episode insightful and empowering. Remember, your mental health journey doesn't end here. For more resources, support, and information, visit us online at makementalhealthmatter.org and come back every Monday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. You won't forget to subscribe to our show or follow us on social media to stay connected and continue the conversation, will you? That's right. Together, let's make mental health matter. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.